The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Don't get boxed in by a whiteboarding app with limited functionality. Try Lucid, the visual collaboration platform that covers your team's entire spectrum of work. With Lucid, you can host virtual brainstorms and so much more. Diagram important processes, conduct cross-functional planning on an infinite visual canvas, power your workflows with data and intelligent automation, and bring your best ideas to life. Try Lucid for free at lucid.co/Spotify.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. Ron Evans, it was basically a Renfro error in right field that led to all those runs. Renfro made the error. Franco and Meadows scored on it. They opened it up. It was a 4-4 game. Next thing you know, Lau had an RBI single, and it was 8-4 and lights out. But it is crazy. So it was only one error. But it is crazy what's happening to the Red Sox. They're 5 games back now of Tampa. Tampa swept them in Tampa. Now they go up to Fenway and beat them. And they've lost 10 of 12. They're 2-8 in their last 10. They've lost 2 in a row. They are melting like an ice cream cone. Speaking of ice cream cones, it's going to be melting everywhere on the East Coast tomorrow. It's going to be like 100 degrees or whatever everywhere. It's going to be 100 degrees here in New York City. They're saying it's going to feel like 108, something like that. That is just crazy. I mean, what is going on? I mean, there's just catastrophic weather, catastrophic temperatures. They're talking about the Earth's warming. They're talking about climate change, global warming. They're talking about the fires in the California in the West are the worst fires in the history of civilization, of mankind. I mean, floods all over Europe. That you saw those floods in Germany. I've never seen anything like it. It like devastated entire towns and villages and whatever else and destroyed everything in its path. Have you noticed we just don't even have like normal anything anymore? We don't just, like, it doesn't just rain. We have, like, trees flying down the street, telephone poles tipping over, people losing power, flooding. I saw a flood the other day, so bad. Did you see the people get trapped in the elevator and the water rose up to their necks? I mean, you're standing in an elevator. Next thing you know, you're in a flood. Next thing you know, you're drinking sewer water up to your neck in flooding water. I mean, what is going on? I heard today they're like warning you tomorrow, like don't even leave your house. It's going to be like $110 in New York. Then they're saying that, you know, the grid's going to shut down, that the power is going to go out because it's so hot. You know, one of the things I noticed that I liked about being in the California, for me anyway, when I was in San Diego, is that they have all the powers underground. They don't have telephone poles. They don't have wires going all over, you know, towns and neighborhoods and like from the street corner to the house. Like, have you ever seen it? Like in New York City and like in, you know, Jersey and in Long Island, Connecticut, it's all telephone poles and power lines. And then you hear about, oh, well, we had a huge storm and all the trees blew over and knocked all the power lines down. Every time, like tonight, I ran an errand. I'm driving around and I'm like, I see giant, enormous lightning bolts coming out of the sky, like black skies. And I'm like, Dorothy. I mean, it's never just rain. It's Noah's Ark rain. I mean, there's animals floating down the street. We welcome in our radio affiliates, Sirius XM channel 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, and all of Southern California. Yeah, yeah, should do be. Sports Map Radio Network. What up, H-Town? Sports Byline USA up in the city by the bay. Yay, in the way, yay. And Armed Forces Radio. It's Pharrell on the bench. Mafia's running it. So, yeah, tomorrow they're saying it's going to be basically they're warning us. It's going to be feel like 110. What do you think, Mafia? You going to be excited about 110 tomorrow? You looking forward to that one? You like, and they're saying it's for the next 3 or 4 days. It's going to be 100 something.
Yeah, that's going to be awful. And it's going to be fun because, you know, my dog's going to want to go out 10 times throughout the day, not caring how hot it is and dragging me out there. And the second I step out, I'm going to be drenched in sweat. I have to take another shower.
Yeah, because you got a dog, which was a swing and a miss. I already knew that when I got the dog, it was going to be a swing and a miss because you do everything and kids do nothing. So my kids do nothing for the dog ever. I mean, literally, let's just call it for what it is. And I do it all. I feed it. I walk it. I pick up its cable. That's it. I do everything. And then tomorrow, Boston has a dog spa day. So tomorrow's his bathing day that he gets like once every couple months. He goes to get a bath, get cleaned up and a haircut. And he just is not grooving to that idea. He doesn't mind going to the dog spa. He minds having water on him. He doesn't like baths. He doesn't like people. And he's vicious, like Cujo. It's Pharrell on the bench.
To listen to Sports Grid, you can always go downtown.
Hey, babe, you want to go out?
Scour the sidewalks, find a penny, and pick it up. Or you can get the winning edge
right here.
And you won't get Tomey. This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
All right, so, I just want to see this, the wild card. So the Yankees right now are 1.5 out of the wild card, but they're going to lose tonight. And that will keep them at 2 out because the Red Sox lost. So they're losing right now. I just checked before. It was 7-4. And it was going to the ninth inning. I think it was in the... But now it's 8-4 in the ninth inning with 2 outs. So they're going to lose this game tonight to the Royals. And then they're going to play tomorrow at like 2 o'clock Eastern, 1 o'clock out there, whatever it is. And it's going to be, I mean, it'll be a buck something at that game tomorrow in the heat in Kansas City. You talk about heat. It's way hotter in Kansas City than normally, than New York City and the Bronx. But I guarantee you tomorrow, when they play at 1 o'clock in Kansas City, I think they're playing a day game tomorrow, they will be absolutely dying out there. I mean, no joke. Let me just double check. That game is at 210 East, 110 in Kansas City. Ooh, is that going to be hot? I mean to tell you, that is no joke. So the forecast, I had it down. The forecast for the game is 100 degrees. Oh, my God. It'll be 100 degrees there tomorrow and sunny. What a pleasant day at the ballpark. What could be worse than sitting in 100-degree heat at a baseball game? Honestly, you don't even move. You just sit there. There's no air. Oh, my God. It sounds like prison. The Yankees just lost that game 8-4. It's a final now, so they'll be two back in the wild card. And then that series, I think, I'm pretty sure. Let's see where they go on Thursday. Yeah, they go to the Field of Dreams game Thursday in Iowa for the cornfield game. That'll be interesting. That game's on Fox, as we talked about with Rick Haro on earlier. The game's on Fox, and they're playing the White Sox at that crazy movie set, basically, whatever that, you know, that's a real place. Can you believe that? Remember they were going to have it at last year, and the COVID canceled it. So now they're finally going to have that game. And I'm sure everyone's really excited. So anyway, the Dodgers are up on the Phillies 4-0 in the seventh inning in Philadelphia. Tigers lead the Orioles 6-4 in the eighth at Camden. Brewers and Cubs, game two of the doubleheader. I hit the first game, Brewers 4-2. Second game, 1-1 in the fifth. Top of the fifth, Brewers have runners on first and second with one out. Astros lead the Rockies 5-0 in the eighth. Top of the eighth, Astros up five runs. I got them going. Giants I got going. 5-0 over the Diamondbacks. Top of the sixth, D-backs have a runner at second with one out. Game two of the doubleheader. I took the Angels in game one, and they won 6-3. Game two, I took the Jays. They're up 2-0 in the bottom of the fourth in Anaheim. Marlins lead the Padres 4-3, middle of the third at Petco, so there's a lot of ball left there. The Mariners 2-1 over the Rangers. Bottom four, Mariners have a runner at first, two outs. Cardinals beat the Pirates 4-1. Rays 8-4 over the Red Sox. Yankees lose. And I gave you the Brewers game one win, Angels game one win, A's in 10 over the Indians 4-3. I hit that game as well. Nationals 3-1 on the Mets, suspended because of rain at Citi Field. And the Braves beat the Reds. I hit that. 3-2 the final there. And the Twins upset the White Sox 4-3 in Minneapolis. So as you look at everything, Tampa's lead now 5 over Boston in the East. White Sox by 10.5 over Cleveland in the Central. Astros by 1.5 over the A's in the West. Phillies lead over the Braves 1.5. Mets 2.5 back. Milwaukee leads the Central by 6.5 over the Reds. San Francisco's lead over the Dodgers is 4. And it's 7 over San Diego. As far as the wild cards go, as I said, Oakland and Boston have the wild cards. Boston's lead is 2 over the Yankees, 3 over the Jays, 5 over Seattle. And then the Dodgers and Padres have the wild cards. Dodgers first, Padres second. Reds are 4 back of San Diego. The Braves would be 6.5 back. Mets 7.5 back. So baseball's certainly getting interesting. I'm actually watching this late night game in Vegas, NBA Summer League. Sacramento leads Washington 66-57. Quite the story tonight in hockey. I know certainly some people have heard about this, but a Hall of Fame legendary longtime Blackhawk goalie and three-time Vezina winner, Tony Esposito, has died at 78 from pancreatic cancer. I mean, honestly, he had a huge influence on the NHL, and his brother Phil. Everyone in the Blackhawks organization, Rocky Wirtz said of Esposito, four generations of our family, my grandfather, Arthur, my father, Bill, my son, Danny, and I were blessed to be around his work ethic as a Hall of Fame goalie, but more importantly, by his mere presence and spirit. He spent his first season in the NHL with the Canadiens before landing in Chicago. He had a huge impact in Chicago in 69-70, leading the league with 38 wins, a 93% save percentage, and 15 shutouts en route to capturing the Calder and Vezina trophy as the rookie of the year and best goalie in the league. His shutouts remain tied for second most in a single season. 5-11. He's a franchise leader in Chicago in wins, 418 saves, over 24,000 saves, and 74 shutouts. He's one of six players to have his number retired by the Blackhawks. He was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1988. He worked with the Penguins for a while. I remember Tony Esposito working with the Penguins. And that's a huge loss. Of course, his brother Phil had a long storied career in the NHL as well. And he is an announcer with the Stanley Cup champion, two-time defending Tampa Bay Lightning. He does the games on the radio, I believe, or with maybe the TV. I can't keep track of it. I think he does the games with Michigan on radio. Phil, his brother, they both played in the league forever. They're both an institution in the NHL. Both legendary. And an unbelievable story tonight when I saw that Tony Esposito had died. Last night, I was doing the retirement of Mike Lang, the Penguins' legendary 46-year play-by-play man, finally hung up the mic. And that's it. So two nights in a row, I'm doing these stories. I'm getting bummed out. My God, it's Pharrell on the bench. Such a badass. He just absolutely is a monster in the block.
I just want to feel my burger finger.
You're so money and you don't even know it.
On the bench. I don't know if you remember Aubrey Huff, Mafia, but the former Giants slugger has been permanently suspended from Twitter. I guess he's still on Instagram, but he's been banned permanently from Twitter. And the guy's got, like, you know, over 200,000 followers since he quit playing. He's a just far right wing guy. I'm not involved in all this, so I'm not going to sit here and act like I have anything to say or do or know about Aubrey Huff. But I know that he has been selling his, violence. If Bernie Sanders had been elected president, he had promised violence. And then jokes about kidnapping and assaulting Iranian women. He does some Alpha American clothing line, selling $30 shirts. But he was not suspended for any of that. He was kicked off of Twitter for violations of Twitter's COVID-19 misleading info policy. Since the whole thing, the pandemic started, he's been downplaying the severity of COVID-19, which has killed more than 4 million people around the world. over 615,000 people in this country dead. But he was an opponent of vaccines. And he would insinuate that vaccines actually make people sicker. He went to Instagram, which has not banned him. And he talked about his badge of honor experience with Twitter. He's blaming liberals for everything. When people speak the truth or make money, if they're liberal platforms, he wrote before, "I'll never stop. Don't you, patriots." He later told a supporter he wasn't sure why he was banned from Twitter, but he knows now. I mean, it's unbelievable. But that guy sounds half crazy. Am I imagining things, Mafia? Like, honestly, if you go on there and you start telling, you know, nowadays, you start telling people that it doesn't exist, it's not real, it's a conspiracy, it's created by liberals. I mean, I don't care who you are, you have to be nuts. You just have to be nuts. Like, how crazy do you have to be when 4 million people are dead because of it? Like, what bizarre balloon are you living in? I mean, honestly, like, people that pretend like it's not even pretend, people that think it's not happening or that it's not real or that this is created by Democrats. I mean, there's got to be you got to be sick in the head. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you played in professional sports. I don't care what you do for a living. I really don't. It's unbelievable, Mafia.
It's disgusting in many ways. I mean, it's just all around how the rise of these cable news networks and how news is no longer unbiased, is not about reporting the facts, about reporting your side. And you have both sides slant things their way, and people just believe what they're told instead of doing facts. You know, this isn't a political thing. This isn't a, you know, one conspiracy thing. This is a health crisis. And too many people are making it political. Too many people are just believing the BS that they're fed on the internet instead of, you know, looking behind the scenes and seeing what actually, you know, facts are there. And it's just disgusting, the stuff that people spread.
Are you if they say, because, you know, how long do you think that vaccine lasts? 6 months? Do you think you'll go get a booster if that's what you know, needs to be done?
Yeah, I absolutely will, especially because I got the Johnson & Johnson one. I didn't even have the double shot Moderna or Pfizer, so, you know, I was already kind of iffy on you know, what I got and the efficacy of it, if it's going to hold up or not. And I've seen other, you know, certain places, I think in California, certain places, they're even giving booster shots of the other one if you already got the Johnson & Johnson, you know, to give you a little extra juice there. So yeah, I'm all for it. If we need it, it's going to keep me safe, let's do it.
So why did you get the Johnson & Johnson one? Was that just the one that was available to you?
Just the one they gave me. Yeah, I showed up to one of those mega sites and they said, okay, we're giving out this one. I was going to say, no, okay, forget it. I'm walking out. And I said, okay, you know, it still works. Still keeps me from dying. I'll do it.
You did it. Did you ever have any problems with it? Because that was like the one that people said there were some health issues, some heart issues, some blood clot issues, whatever. At the beginning, they had some issues with it. Did you ever have any problems with it?
No. I mean, most of the things that they're having with those issues, if you looked at the stats, it was, you know, mostly women that were having those issues with that. And if you look at the numbers too, I mean, just the average number of people in the general population are that same, like, you know, the 6 in a million. You have 6 in a million people just without a shot or just living their life that can get blood clots or some of those things they're given. So I didn't pay too much heed to it. You know, I obviously was going to make sure if there's some kind of major issue I had that arose soon after that, I'm going to go to the doctor and get it checked out. But I never had anything besides the normal, just, you know, fever, chills, all that stuff that, you know, the reaction that you get from these shots sometimes. Within 24 hours, I was good to go.
Did you, like, you know, today we talked about Lamar Jackson, who's had it twice, and he refuses still to get the vaccine. He says that he's not hurting his teammates. I just, how can that even remotely be true when last year he missed, you know, the Steeler game with it, and now he's got it, you know, he had it again. And he won't get the vaccine. He's like, it's just a personal choice. Well, that's fine. I get that. It's a personal choice. It's also, is it not endangering everyone around him? Is he not endangering his teammates? Is he not endangering people in the organization? Is he not, you know, they're saying the teams need to be at 85%. If he's not doing it, it skews the other way. If you get enough guys that don't do it, then you don't get to the number. And then you already know what's going to happen. They're going to fine you and they're going to forfeit you. Tell me he's not hurting his himself and his teammates.
Well, as far as the numbers, that's not going to hurt the Ravens because they're already over 90%. So he's one of the few holdouts left. I think most of the essential personnel on the team have already gotten it. But it definitely can hurt you. You know, when you're that important. I mean, we talked about that when you're talking about the deal of Josh Allen versus Darius Leonard. And this guy's making this huge money, and this guy on the other side of the ball who's just as important doesn't get the same respect. Well, if the quarterbacks can get paid that much, if all the focal point is going to be put on them, then that's the most important position to make sure that guy can play every week. You know, we saw that. Not that it really mattered because the Jets still stunk that game, but the Denver game, where they lost all their quarterbacks basically until, a kid who took snaps in college against the Jets because they had to break out in the room. Same thing happened in Minnesota this year in training camp. You know, if that was week 1, 4, 7, whatever, you're playing some fourth stringer because half the quarterback room is out sick because of close contact tracing. So if Lamar Jackson, he says he's following protocols, and that's great. He has to, because if he doesn't, then he's really hurting his team and putting them at risk. But if that's the case, God forbid you get it again for some reason, and it might not be that you actually have it and it's affecting you and you're, laid up and then, can't get out of bed. But if you just test positive, it's another risk that they're knocking you out for a week and you losing a big-time game, especially in a division that's stacked this year.
What are they going to do in college football? They're just not going to make up the games. They're just going to, if a team's loaded with COVID and they're sick, they're not going to play the game. They're not going to make it up.
That's what they claim. I think that's, the same kind of thing that the NFL is telling these players that, well, if you cancel the game, if we can't play because of you, we're not paying you. I think that's the same thing with college. They're saying, listen, if you're sick and you don't have enough guys, we're just not going to play the game, because they're trying to threaten without threatening the players to get the vaccine. They're saying, don't put yourself at risk because it'll cost your team, and try to peer pressure them into the shot. They're not going to do that. It depends on which team it is. Depends on which situation it is. Let's be honest. If it's, the SEC was the big one saying that. Sure, if it's Vanderbilt, they'll cancel the game and they won't give it to them. If it's Alabama, if it's Georgia, you think they're going to just not play them when they have a chance to go to the college football playoffs? Good luck with that.
Well, we all know that the preseason rankings came out today, and the same 5 or 6 teams that matter in college football are ranked in the top 6 again, and nobody else matters. I mean, I don't even know why they do those stupid polls, because it's the same teams every year, year in and year out forever. And I just think it's gotten, it just leaves a bad taste in my mouth about college football. I love betting on college football. I love that it doesn't matter if, you're not in the top 5, where that's the only 5 that matter in the entire sport. I'm talking about on Saturdays, whatever, Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, when there's games. There's so many games to bet on, and there's so much action to bet on, and so many props and everything else. There's so much incredible fun to be had with college football. I don't even care anymore about those top 5 teams. That's all they talk about on ESPN and everywhere else is the top 5 teams. Alabama loses their entire team to the NFL, but they're still number 1. Clemson, Ohio State, Georgia, it's always the same teams. It's just so terrible. I can't believe it. I'm sick of that. I am sick of those stupid polls every single week, every year. It's the same teams. I mean, it is the worst. It's Pharrell on a bench.
You don't have to listen to Sports Grid. You can always go to a horse stable, find one with shoes, pry one off, and hang it over your door. Or you can get the winning edge right here, and you won't take a hoof to the head. No! This is the Sports Grid Radio Network.
Alabama, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State, and Georgia. I mean, it's just it's a broken record. I mean, it is just never, ever anything different. I mean, doesn't that just like get stale? I just find it so bunk. Is that all they ever do is talk about the same five teams? And I mean, I think people are fed up, even including Georgia in it and Oklahoma. They just keep going and losing, right? I mean, Alabama graduates all their guys. They all go to the NFL, and they're still number one. And, of course, they went 13-0 last season. And I can't even believe, like, Clemson 10-2, Oklahoma 9-2, Ohio State 7-1, and Georgia 8-2. They talk about A&M and Notre Dame. Aren't we done with Notre Dame just continuously flopping in the bowl games, in the playoff games? I mean, that's just all there is to it. Now you know what to do as a bettor. When Notre Dame gets there, bet against them. Although I think I did, they did cover for me, if I remember correctly. So. They lose, though. I mean, they might cover, but they lose. They don't ever win. They don't get it done. That's just all there is to it. And they get the same juice. I mean, Notre Dame is always there. If they shut down the program, they would still be ranked. It is just so bunk to me that that's all they do is rank the same teams year in and year out. It just is so pathetic. God almighty, I can't even take it anymore. Yeah, here we go. Hardest projected schedules I'm looking at here. Arkansas. Like, who cares about Arkansas? I mean, honestly, I just said today, didn't I? Brett Bielema went down there and did nothing. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Arkansas. I mean, it is unbelievable. Now they're showing me who draws the most fans. Nebraska. I mean, Utah, Michigan, Ohio State, Baylor. I mean, it's the usual suspects, isn't it? At some point or another. I did want to talk about Russell Westbrook tonight because he had his press conference in Lipstick City with the Lakers. And first decade of his career, he's with the Thunder, everybody knows. He became an all-star, an MVP, and now he's back in LA. He said, being from LA, you always wish that you could play for your home team and be able to do that. But that's definitely something that always kind of circled around in my mind, and maybe one day, but I'd always come back and be like, that probably won't happen. And it did happen, of course. He became the first player since Oscar Robertson to average a triple-double for a season. And what he did with the Thunder was amazing. And then he joined a third team in the past 3 years since leaving the Thunder. He's been a Rocket. He's been a Wizard. Now he's a Laker. And he said it's surreal. He's from Long Beach. It hasn't hit me yet, being from L.A., growing up not too far from here and being able to watch the parades. Try to go to him, try to miss school, try to go to him, being a Laker fan and being from LA, but now everything has come full circle for me. He thought a return to LA was unlikely with 2 years and $91 million still owed to a 32-year-old combo guard, but he had a conversation with LeBron, who he says is a friend before he's a teammate. That changed everything. They said it all happened very quickly. All of it happened fast the last 2 weeks or so. We've had brief conversations, talked about obviously what we need to do, and it happened. The Lakers traded Kuzma, KCP, Harrell, KCP being Caldwell Pope, and 21 first-rounder to Washington for Westbrook on draft day. on July 29th. That was the big step. And he said, Rob Pelinka said, I think it's an opportunity to make an aggressive move that we felt bettered our probability to bring the 18th title to the Lakers. This was an opportunity to maximize the ability to do what we've been obsessed to do, and that's bring an 18th title to this city. Two of the titles Lakers earned came at Westbrook's expense. Kobe's Lakers run to the 2010 ring started with a first-round win over the Thunder, and then LeBron bubble title in 20 included beating Westbrook's Rockets in the second round. He never played with Bryant outside of the Olympics and All-Star games, but he felt a bond with Mamba. He said, quote, it hasn't left my head. Things that we talked about, me and him, just the potential of me being able to be a Laker, understanding what that entails. It's just crazy to think about. And that'll be with me every time that I put the Laker jersey on. He said, Pelinka said, because he was Kobe's agent, and he said that Westbrook was on the short list of players whom Kobe believed had Mamba mentality. The initial thing that kind of brought us together was being able to compete and not be able to take nights off, Westbrook said of Kobe. And the Lakers' edition of it, of Westbrook should allow James, who's going to be 37 in December, to take some of the load off of his shoulders. He said, Westbrook, Bron is one of the best players to play this game, and his ability to be able to kind of do everything on the floor allows me to be able to figure it out. He led the league in assists last year. I'm coming to a championship team, and my job is to make sure that I'm able to make his game easier for him. I'll always find ways to do that throughout the game. Vogel joined Westbrook and Pelinka at the press event and declared that LA would become extremely dynamic and fast-breaking team with Westbrook added to the fold with LeBron, AD, and he downplayed any fit issues between them, all make the right play type players. Westbrook was there with his father, his mother, his brother, and obviously he said, just being able to be with my kids all the time, being able to see my mom and dad and my wife all the time is, to me, the best thing you can ask for, being back home. Look, I just think it's really cool and special. That's just me. Now, I know there's people that maybe don't like Russell Westbrook or think he's a D, whatever. But I'm here to tell you, and I've said this before a million times on Coast to Coast and on the Bench, he is a badass. I mean, this guy, you cannot even begin to question his abilities. I know people say he can't shoot, and it's just, you know, he's not a pure Steph Curry type shooter. He's not a guy that hits every shot he takes. He can be streaky. He can be cold. He can have off nights shooting. He's not a 50% shooter. Who is? You know, it's one thing to say he can't shoot. It's another thing to just eat that hoagie, that triple-double hoagie with mustard. I mean, this guy averaged a triple-double for an entire season. Who in their right mind can do that? You do not suck when you average a triple-double. People say he can't shoot. Well, he scored double figures every single night. Oh, that's easy. Yeah, go try it. Go try to average a triple-double. Go try to average double figure scoring. Go try to score 10 points a night in any league, and you'll find out how hard it is. You have to score 10 or more every single night. You cannot score 9, 8. 6, 4, 2, none, and expect to keep your average over 10. You have to average over 10. You got to have 14, 20, 16, 18, 22 to keep it over 10. And he gets double figure rebounds every night. He is the best dime dropper in the league. You don't like him, but he plays it, I can't drive 55. He drives Sammy Hagar speed on the basketball court. He goes all out. every game, all out. I mean, he just absolutely lays it all on the floor. When he walks into that room after the game, he is spent because he has gone harder than every single player on the floor. I have never seen a game that he's played ever against anyone where he isn't the hardest working guy on the floor. He moves the ball better in transition. He's faster than everybody. He gets to the 10. He can create plays like no other. He can pass like no other. He can rebound. He can defend. He can shoot. He can get hot shooting the ball. He's had tons of huge nights in the NBA. You don't play on Olympic teams and all those all-star games and carry. He carried. He literally carried the Thunder franchise on his back, carried him. And then he had to play with ISO ball, hero ball Harden in Houston. And I love Harden's game. I like watching him play. I won't deny it. I think he's fantastic. But when you play with him, you're not getting a rock. I mean, I think he can drop dimes when he played with Brooklyn. I mean, he was a double-double machine. He'll score 30 and give you 10 dimes easy. And I think that's because he has the ball the entire game in his hands. When you have the ball 95% of the time, I mean, you're bound to get some plays made. You're bound to get some dimes. You're automatic, he's going to get some shots. And he gets to the line more than anybody in the league. But Westbrook had to play with him twice. He had to play with him in Oak City. Had to play with him in Houston. And then he goes and plays with Beal, who's another guy that chucks it. And he still was averaging triple doubles like a mofo. You cannot tell me he is not going to light it up with the LA Lakers. Are you kidding me? That is showtime all over again. I mean, you know, only Magic Johnson can pass the ball like Russell Westbrook can make plays. Only Magic. Kobe was a pure scorer. He was a shooter-shoot scorer, and he made plays. He did everything. He did it all. But he don't pass like Westbrook. No way. He don't pass like Russell Westbrook. And I got to tell you, watching that guy play at 100 miles an hour and drop dimes and swat shots, get rebounds on both ends, offensive, defensive, he's the most incredible player. I think he is going to absolutely light it up with LA in the purple and gold. I mean, no questions asked. And then Melo giving them 20 minutes of burning buckets left and right. They're going to rock out.
My buddy's a fan of yours in Vancouver, Canada, so he hears you crystal clear. I thought I'd let you know that.
Time after time, I sit and I wait for your call.
So I'm just devastated for Errol Spence that the fight's off with Pacquiao because of a retinal tear. Tear in his left eye. He's going to have surgery on Wednesday, tomorrow. And he said, there's no way I could fight with my eye in that condition. He went on social media. He said three doctors looked at the eye and they were all very positive about his recovery. He said he'd be back to face the winner of Pacquiao Ugas for sure. End quote. Quote, I came back from worse. End quote. That was when he wrecked the car doing 105 miles an hour. And for Pacquiao, a win over Ugas wouldn't necessarily mean a fight with Spence would be next. He's preparing for a May presidential run in the Philippines against the incumbent, meaning his next fight could be his last. He's, you know, the Hall of Famer future anyway, will be attempting to score one of the best over 40 victories in boxing history against Spence. I didn't think that was going to happen. I don't believe that. that they'll fight. I just don't believe it. I don't see how you can tear your retina, whatever, and then come right back and fight Pacquiao. And I just think that fight with Ugas is a disaster. I don't care what anybody says. He was on the card. He was fighting some other guy, Maidana, that pulled out who got injured. So they put these two together. Nobody on the face of the earth wants to see that fight. And nobody wants to go to that fight either. And people are running to get refunds. No one's ever heard of the Cuban. It's a disaster. Trust me. I'll see you tomorrow on Coast to Coast at 4 p.m. Eastern. Good night, everybody.